Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Professor Stephen Friedman has looked at the question of whether pandemics heal social rifts or widen them, and he's with me now. Prof, good afternoon to you. Lovely to have you with us as always. Have pandemics been known to heal social divisions?
Good afternoon, Dr. Anne. Look, there's always, you know, at times like these, understandably, there is always, this hopeful response that it'll bring us all together. Many people who are concerned about social justice say, well, it'll remind people, that there are many South Africans who don't have enough, that we need to think about them more and provide for them more. And I'm afraid I'm skeptical. I mean, the anecdote you've just shared, there are many others like that. I think what usually happens during pandemics or when people feel threatened is that they reveal their divisions rather than heal their divisions. So, the first thing that happens in this country is that because there is distrust of the government, everything the government says must be untrue. Mm-hmm. You have people saying, well, why doesn't the government consult, inform us when they've been issuing daily updates, the last one about an hour ago. People simply double down on what they believed in the first place. And, if you look at panic buying, which admittedly has happened in other places too, it does signal, I've got money, I'll get all the stuff for myself, and it's not really my concern if others don't have it. We've also seen, incidentally, which is unfortunately always a problem in these situations, hostility to foreigners.
Yes.
Claim that all this is being brought to us by people coming over the border from Zimbabwe and Mozambique, when, of course, it's being brought to us by the fact that middle-class people can travel around the world.
Mm. Prof, there also seems to be a certain amount of suspicion on both sides, these sorts of stereotypes involving stories where the virus originated, how it can come across our borders, as you've just pointed out, even who can catch it and who can't.
Oh, absolutely. And we've had all of that, of course, Joanne. First of all, the question of where it originated, and unfortunately we've been spared here, but the president of America now is unable to hold a media conference on the virus without referring to it throughout the Chinese virus.
Yes.
We've had cases of, bizarre cases around the world. People in Indians in Israel, the Jewish Indians, being attacked by Israelis because they think they're Chinese. that's just an indication of the kind of prejudice which boils up.
Mm.
So it can translate into, it's the Chinese and they don't know what to eat properly and they will eat funny things and that's why they're spread around the world. Or it's the immigrants, or it's somebody, because when people feel threatened, when people feel panicked, I'm afraid the human reaction very often is to find somebody to blame, rather than to reach out to people across the barriers and say, let's beat this thing together.
Yes. It's interesting, though, the way this virus manifested itself in our country, Prof. We've seen vulnerable groups exposed to many kinds of illnesses simply because of the reality of their poverty. And yet it began here in the middle class or the upper middle class, so to speak.
Well, that's correct. And, of course, that's not at all surprising because we live in a world in which middle-class people, as I said earlier, can now afford to travel.
Mm.
The last great pandemic was the 1918 so-called Spanish flu.
Right.
It was flu, but it wasn't really Spanish. And the reason that went as far, traveled as far as it did and caused havoc in South Africa, for example, is that there was a war on. So troops were being moved from place to place. But at that time, generally, if there was a virus in China and you were living in South Africa, that was the problem of only of Chinese people. Today, you know, how did this spread across the globe? Italians go on a holiday to China, they pick up the virus. South Africans go on a ski holiday to Italy, they pick up the virus. Mm. And so it spreads. So it is inevitable that it is going to be a middle-class virus to start off with, because middle-class and affluent people are obviously the people who can afford to take these trips. Of course, the challenge for South Africa and many other places is that it doesn't stay a middle-class virus, it affects everybody. But that is one of, that is one of the consequences of the fact that we now live in what has been a more open world and a world in which it's easier for people to travel. Incidentally, I do point out that one of the reactions to this, I point out in something else which will appear on Wednesday, has been to erect borders, which weren't there before. I mean, the most extreme case of an attempt to deal with this in one country while ignoring other countries is the claim that the American president once again offered large sums of money to a German company to develop a vaccine which would be owned by America only.
Yes, yes.
But that is an extreme version of a situation in which countries are putting up barriers. They're saying, you can't come in here. We're going to deal with this on our own. And that, of course, is another illustration of what I was trying to say there, because it's a reinforcement of the views which exist at the moment. And incidentally, obviously, restricting travel is vitally necessary at this place. But there are, I think, very convincing voices pointing out that if we don't have international cooperation on a vaccine and on a cure, and we don't have international cooperation on what to do with the huge economic damage which is going to be done by this pandemic, then we will be in a far worse situation than we are. Ironically, at the time in which people are putting up shutters, this is a time in which cooperation across national boundaries is more important than it's been for a very long time.
Thank you so much for your insights there. Beautiful article, Professor Stephen Friedman. He's a research professor at the University of Johannesburg.